Today is February 24th, 2016, and this is episode number 347 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, a guy without a title. How's that? To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit MacObserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at ACM@MacObserver.com.
So I don't need to print up new business cards for you this week.
Not well, unless you want to print up some that say nothing.
Oh, great. I do have to print up new business cards.
Yes. Yes, you do. Just Brian Chaffin.
Yeah, I'm going to put a little line under your name so you can just write in whatever you want your title to be.
Oh, we should have done that a long time ago.
I know, we really should have, and I just thought of it now. I can't believe it.
Tens of thousands of dollars.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
It really is.
Right. Speaking of ridiculous.
Yes.
We have this thing going on, don't we?
Yeah, there's this thing going on. Yeah, the whole Apple FBI, what about privacy in our iPhone thing? Man, this just keeps snowballing.
Well, is it really snowballing now?
All right. How about if sticking with the snow analogy, I say that it's like a blizzard of information that won't let up. There and we can make snowballs.
And if we so chose.
If we so chose.
We have not.
No, but because that, we're still reeling over the business card thing.
Yeah, it doesn't mean we can't. We could.
We could.
I could knock my headphones into the microphone, too.
I think you totally should.
Yeah, you know, if I was still doing the recording and engineering and post, we could take that right out.
We could, but with that in, it lets people know we're humans just like them.
It's yes, because they need some kind of cue,
right? To know that. It makes us, especially you, much more approachable by the common man. That's important, Brian. This is how you're going to be able to connect with people.
That is so ridiculous. You know, intended consequence of our newfound way of recording has been we haven't heard from the agents. The interns.
The interns.
Yes, we should check in with them at some point.
We should. I think right now they're still waiting in a lunch line that I sent them out to a couple weeks ago. I know the restaurant closed like 3 months ago.
You're so mean.
I know.
You're so mean. Yeah, well, maybe we'll bring him back. We'll bring him back soon.
Yeah, we can do that. What we need is a third intern so we can send that one out to go get, what are their names? Sebulba and Aerostar?
Sierra and Ainsley with three E's because he's a precious millennial snowflake.
Both of them are perfect. Wow. Precious snowflakes.
They are. Yeah.
I almost called them professional snowflakes. That's a very different thing.
You know, did you catch that the thing I wrote up about the 1975 streaming a live show?
I did see that.
Speaking of millennials. actually, they're 19. How old are the folks in the 1975?
I don't know, but I think they were born after 1975.
That would be my guess, but I don't actually know. Anyway, they're doing a live show, and they're going to be streaming it on the Beats One.
Right.
So it's Apple's first live concert.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
I mean, Apple did the Taylor Swift thing.
Yeah, but that was pre-recorded.
That was a documentary.
Hence pre-recorded.
Yes. I am pleased to see Apple doing more of this. Matter of fact, I want to see a lot more of this stuff.
Yeah, I think this is really cool. Yeah, they need to do more of it. Now, the Taylor Swift documentary, I mean, that was cool. I didn't see all of it because just life kind of got in the way. Also, my standards are set very high for music-related documentaries, mm-hmm. because I did see This Is Spinal Tap.
and that was a documentary, a rockumentary, if you will.
Yes. Yes, it was. And I think it really set the standard. The bar is set with Spinal Tap, and it's up to well, right now it's up to Taylor Swift to meet that.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Taylor Swift aside, though, the 1975 show will be February 25th. That's tomorrow as of this recording.
So Thursday.
Thursday, right. At 9 a.m., 9 in the morning. Well, 9 in the morning?
I thought it was 9 in the evening.
It's 9 in the morning Pacific.
So they're not actually in the United States right now?
Well, they're a Brit band, and of course the Zane's show is over there in the England.
Well, except he's over in the New York.
Oh, he is in the New York, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, 9 a.m. Who does a concert at 9 a.m.?
Other than the 1975, I'm not sure.
9 a.m.? What are they thinking? I totally missed this when I wrote it up. It's a good thing I was paying attention.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
And their new album drops on Friday, which is a weird day. Thought they were always on Tuesdays. Huh, who knew, right?
Actually, that is kind of surprising. Yeah.
Yeah.
9 a.m. Yeah, I just went and looked at the little banner they created, and it says 9 a.m. Pacific time.
Yeah, you're just, you know, you just assume it's p.m. because, you know, it's a concert.
Right, and I would expect the roadies to still be asleep at 9 a.m.
I would expect the band to still be asleep at 9 a.m.
Right.
I would expect the fans to still be asleep at 9 a.m., most of them. Like that, I could be projected there.
Yeah, it's possible.
All right. Anyway, so we have this FBI thing.
Yep. Okay. I'm up with you now.
Right. And let's start with two dueling polls / surveys.
Okay. Yep. You you had, I think, a really great take on the Pew survey or poll.
Yeah, Pew released something a couple days ago, on the 22nd, it'd be 2 days ago roughly, that found that 51% of respondents said, well, actually, this is Pew, they're saying that 51% of America believes that Apple should unlock terror suspects' iPhone. Too bad, of course, that's not actually what Apple is being asked to do. It's right. The wrong question. It's actually a factually wrong question. I was very disappointed that Pew got this so incredibly wrong, because Apple is not being asked to unlock the phone because Apple cannot unlock the phone.
Right. Apple is being asked to create a special version of iOS that bypasses the security measures that would otherwise prevent someone from launching a brute force attack on the passcode.
So that The FBI can then unlock the iPhone.
Right.
Right. So what Apple is actually asked to be to do here is asked to be doing what the courts are ordering Apple to do is to create a backdoor, not unlock the iPhone. This is a massive distinction. And for Pew to ask if Apple should unlock the terror suspect's iPhone, it's not only loaded, it's just factually wrong.
Right. Now, the answer that they got to that question, even though it's not the right question and it's factually wrong, was kind of fascinating.
Because it was 51% said that Apple should and 38% said Apple shouldn't. And I would have expected the answer to the question that they asked to be a lot higher in favor of Apple, quote unquote, unlocking the iPhone.
Right. So what it comes down to is, based on this question, people are actually really torn about, or fairly evenly divided.
It's 51% to 38% with 11%.
Oh, that's right. There's 11%. I don't know.
Yeah, 51 to 38. That's not even.
I mean, no, you're right.
That's a pretty solid result in favor of the FBI. In my opinion, I mean, I honestly would have thought it would be higher, but it's still a solid result in favor of the FBI. But of course, again, it's asking the wrong question. Now, there were a couple of other interesting things about their poll. First of all, if you owned a smartphone, the numbers went down to 50% saying that Apple should, and 41% saying Apple shouldn't. So it kind of narrowed the gap a little bit.
Okay.
But only a little bit. If you narrow it to only iPhone owners, in other words, and not Pew didn't say this, but if you start invoking the Apple fan clause or something, it narrows it even further, but still doesn't cross. It's 47% saying that Apple should and 43% saying that Apple should not.
Wow.
And then other, if you go for other smartphone owners, it's 53 to 38, which is very similar to 51 and 38. And then if you don't own a smartphone, which I'm guessing to a certain extent means older folks, it's 52 and 33%.
Right. Interesting. So
those are just kind of sort of interesting tidbits there. Now, other interesting tidbits to me was the political side. So again, the total being 51% saying Apple should unlock the iPhone, which is the wrong question. Mm-hmm. 38% saying that Apple should not. If you break it down by age, the younger you are, the more likely you are to think that Apple shouldn't. So like 18 to 29, it was 47 to 43, which is very similar, by the way, to the iPhone owners.
Okay, well, that kind of makes sense.
Spread. And if you go all the way up to 65 and older, it's 54 and 27.
Hmm.
Yes.
Well, I'm just wondering how much of a variation there is in the overall numbers because of margin of error.
Well, yes, they surveyed 1,000 people, half of whom had cell phones and half a smartphone, cell phones, actually, half of whom had cell phones and half of them were reached on cell phones, half of them were reached on landlines.
Wow. Okay.
That was right down the middle. Pew is a reputable researcher, despite the fact that they got this question wrong. I would assume that
they have good accuracy for numbers related to a bad question.
Correct. That's my assumption. I'm going to give them very much the benefit of the doubt on that particular aspect. They also found that. So when it comes to education levels, post-grad degree would be 47 and 40 in favor of the FBI. A college graduate, just in other words, an undergraduate degree, would be 45 and 39 in favor of the FBI. Hmm. Some college, it jumps to 56 and 34. And if it's high school or less, it's 50 and 41.
Interesting. Where I thought this was going as you started rattling off numbers was that the lower the level of education, the higher likelihood that you would support the FBI's position.
And that is not the case.
Interesting. I just assumed that people that were better educated would also be in a position where they are or can more easily research a topic and for something like this might have a higher interest in the outcome and therefore come to the conclusion that their smartphone, whether it's an iPhone or not, should not be accessible to the government.
Well, to that degree, they actually found that 75% have either heard a lot, 39%, or a little, 36%, about the situation, which seems to be an incredibly high penetration level for,
yeah,
for a topic that is, I would kind of expect to be limited to, you know, the law enforcement blogosphere, echo chamber, the geek echo chamber, tech echo chamber, and political echo chambers.
And yet this has gone mainstream.
It seems to have gone mainstream. Now, we have some other interesting breakdowns.
Okay.
When it comes to Republicans and Democrats, the numbers were very close. 56% of Republicans said that the FBI, that Apple should unlock the phone, sided with the FBI. 55% of Democrats said that Apple should unlock the iPhone. That's neck and neck, 56% and 55%.
Yeah, and if you take margin of error into account, you might as well say it was the same amount or yes, same percentage.
On the, where we see a little bit of difference between the two is where Apple should not unlock the iPhone. Republicans said, 32% of Republicans said that Apple should not, and 37% of Democrats said that Apple should not. I find that fascinating because it is usually the conservative side of America that is the most concerned with government intrusion into our lives.
Right.
Yet, here we have similar levels saying that Apple should unlock the iPhone, but, you know, a five percentage points difference on whether or not Apple should not. And that's interesting to me. That gets a little more stark when you get to independents. Now, the independents who lean Republican, 58% of those independents said that Apple should. 32% said that Apple shouldn't.
Wow.
Very, very similar to the identify as Republican standpoint numbers. But then those independents who lean Democratic, it was 34% said Apple should and 55% said Apple shouldn't.
Huh.
Which is actually the only set of the numbers that they broke down for us,
mm-hmm,
that come out in favor of Apple, especially with a significant margin.
That's fascinating. I mean, my assumption would have been that Democrats would be more open to the intrusion, whereas Republicans would be less open.
But, you know, I think this, since 9/11, we've had, our entire country is, you know, doesn't matter which side or which end of the spectrum you're on, there's always a bit of sort of internal dichotomy where what you say doesn't match with what you say.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And it, by and large, those on the conservative side have consistently favored strong, more of a police state, more surveillance, more. Even while the most strident voices against surveillance are often on the far right.
Mm-hmm.
As a whole, I think that the conservative side of America, generally speaking, favors more surveillance to keep us safe, especially more surveillance to keep us safe from terrorists. You know, but then as soon as it comes to, you know, I'm not passing judgment here. I'm speaking completely in a clinical basis when it comes to stuff like guns. Well, the government needs to just stay out of our business. So, you know, when it comes to our privacy, government should be involved to keep us safe. But when it comes to guns, the government should not be involved, period. So there's a weird, you know, we have a lot of, like I said, there's still a lot of dichotomies splitting us. Doesn't matter which end of the spectrum we are. We've got paradoxes and conflicts within us that sort of jump around depending on what the specific subject is.
You know, I'm curious, and there's no way to know the answer to this because we'd have to find a way to alter history. But I'm curious what reaction people would have to these questions if the word terrorist and terrorism was not linked to this specific incident.
Yeah, that's a great question. Of course, I mean, it's a great question, and there is no way to know.
No,
should we actually tell people what? I would imagine that our listeners probably know about the story, but just in case, now that we're 20 minutes into the show?
Yeah, we're 20 minutes into the show. Should we tell people we're talking about? Yeah, probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. So on December 2nd, 2015, there were two people, husband and wife, that that both worked for the San Bernardino
Health Department.
Yes, County Health Department. And they went to the County Health Department holiday party and opened fire. And they killed 14 people, seriously injured 22 others, left the scene, and then were eventually tracked down by law enforcement, got into a gunfight with the law enforcement officers, were both killed. And the husband, his iPhone that was issued to him by the county was recovered. And then, excuse me, the FBI started an investigation, of course, and they wanted to look at the contents of this phone. In January, they enlisted the help of Apple, and Apple did everything they could to help them retrieve what they reasonably could get. And then,
including access to some information on iCloud.
Yes. Yeah. So they had information from iCloud backups that went up to mid October. So about 2.5 months before the shooting, or about 2 months before the shooting. And then the FBI at Apple's request, they went to, or Apple's suggestion, they went to force another backup of the iPhone, only to realize the FBI had instructed the San Bernardino County IT people to reset the iCloud password, which then broke the link between the iPhone and iCloud, and they weren't able to force a backup to happen because they needed to get into the iPhone to put the new passcode in. And so now the FBI wanted Apple to help them essentially hack through the passcode. And Apple did not want to help. The FBI goes to federal court and gets a court order compelling Apple to create a version of iOS that bypasses the 10 passcode try limit, that removes the time delays between passcode entry attempts, and then adds in a feature where the FBI could automate entering passcodes so that they could more quickly find the specific passcode for this device. So they wanted Apple to create a version of iOS that allowed for a brute force attack on the passcode for the iPhone. And Apple is saying nope. And so now we're at the point where we are facing what will probably be a very public court battle between Apple and the Department of Justice over whether or not the government has the right to compel Apple to create this special version of iOS.
Right.
Now, next part is that Tim Cook and Apple have come out very publicly opposed to doing this, and have raised concerns that this would set a precedent where Apple and other technology companies would be forced to in various ways, weaken the security features of their devices so that it would be easier for law enforcement, government, other agencies to access our private and encrypted data. And the FBI is saying, no, that's not going to happen. This is a one-off case. And And since the FBI has said that, we have learned that there's at least 12 more cases that are ready to go from the Department of Justice, where they want to compel Apple to give them the tools to brute force attack passcodes on iPhones.
Using something called the All Writs Act, and that is, which is a relic of the 18th century, and essentially allows the law enforcement, the executive branch of the federal government to compel what it needs for anything not already governed, not otherwise governed by a statute or law.
And so that's what the FBI and the Department of Justice are using as their justification for getting this court order. Apple says this is an overreach of government authority.
And that if we do this, we're going to be creating a backdoor that can then be exploited by bad actors around the world. Bad actors meaning hackers, criminal organizations, terrorist organizations, and of course, foreign agents, including foreign governments that we would otherwise consider repressive.
Right. And the FBI still says, no, that's not what's happening here. Although, despite what they're saying, it sure looks like, at least to me, that's exactly where this could be going, especially because we know now that the Department of Justice already has other cases where they want to use this same tactic. And we've had who is it? The district attorney for Manhattan said that he's waiting for the ruling on whether or not this court order stands because he has a lot of iPhones. He wants Apple to help hack into.
Yeah, he's got 75 of them. The DOJ's got another 11 that we know of, and there are various and sundry law enforcement agencies, district attorney offices around the country that have all manner of devices.
So what we're looking at is a specific case that really it ultimately isn't about this one iPhone and whether or not it should be unlocked, but about whether or not companies should be forced to create the tools to weaken their own security so the government can hack into these devices.
Right. And that's the issue here. We are not concerned. Jeff and I are in lockstep with Apple on this.
Yes. Yes, we are.
We are in lockstep with Apple on this out of principle. And it's not because we're worried about the rights of criminals being violated. This actually isn't even... This isn't about that at all. I mean, the reality is that you cannot have encryption with backdoors. The two are mutually exclusive.
Correct. You can encrypt something, but you're encrypting it with a false sense of security because that encryption is merely superficial if there are backdoors.
Apple cooperated hundreds of times before on devices that it could unlock, because once upon a time Apple could unlock an iOS device.
Apple has never unlocked an iOS device for the government. What they have done is helped government agencies recover data from iPhones while they are still locked. So prior to iOS 8, and the only reason I jumped right on that to correct you is because it's an important distinction.
It is a huge distinction, and I'm glad that you did.
Yeah, so what Apple has done is extract data, only specific types of data, from Apple's own apps that they could get at. And this is all prior to iOS 8, where Apple added in on-device encryption. So once you put a passcode in, all the data on your device is encrypted. So from that point forward, what Apple has been able to do in certain situations with certain types of data still related to data that comes from Apple-specific apps, they've been able to recover some of that through iCloud backups. And it's important to know that distinction. So,
yeah, that distinction is absolutely huge. But Apple has cooperated on many cases where they can.
Yes, and Apple even has a department whose job is to be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to law enforcement agencies to assist them with the forensic tasks that those law enforcement agents need to accomplish related to Apple devices.
And it's important to note that Apple cooperated in this case too. They did. Apple did what it could. The thing about iOS 8 and iOS 9 is that it was designed so that no one has the keys, because that's the only way to keep everyone from having access to the keys.
Right.
This is we've said this we've said this a lot, but it bears repeating.
You know, there's one thing in this where I've just been shocked all the way through, and I'm surprised that you and I haven't discussed this before now. How is it that a government agency, in this case, San Bernardino County, could have all these iPhones that they are issuing to employees, and they're not using Apple's device management tools that are set up specifically for IT departments so that they manage everything about these devices? If they were doing that, all they would have to do is have the IT department click a button in the MDM interface, and it unlocks the iPhone.
And I'm okay with that.
Sure. Yeah, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's a county-issued phone. That means it's San Bernardino County property. They manage and control that device. They have the right and should have the ability to push updates, to set what apps are and are not available on the devices, and to be able to change passcodes and unlock those devices at their whim.
And I'm also okay with the government being able to get a warrant compelling that to happen.
Sure. Yeah, that's not a problem at all. And we also have the court precedent where dead people don't have a right to privacy. So if there was any information on that phone that the terrorists wanted to keep private, it doesn't matter once they're dead. It's they have no rights.
Right.
And yet they were not using a device management system, or at least so it seems, because the county can't get into that iPhone.
Yes. Which is why we have this big case that we kind of veered off the topic, but something that's very important to me is that Director Comey, mm-hmm, and the DOJ have both been saying that this case is about one device. And that is not it is true only if you close your eyes and ignore reality, because it will set a precedent, because that's the way our judicial system works.
That, yes, that's right. It will definitely set a precedent. And clearly there are other government agencies that are watching this very closely because they want to see what the precedent will be.
Yeah. James Comey, Director Comey, can sit here and tell us all he wants that this is only about this one device and this one phone, and you know, this isn't going to set a precedent. But it seems like all the other folks out there, all the other district attorneys, and the DOJ itself knows that that's not the case, even though the DOJ is also saying the same thing. That's really, really drives me nuts. It's intellectually dishonest. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't like it even a little bit, Jeff.
I hadn't picked up on that, Brian. But you know what? I'm totally with you. It's distasteful to me, and it's very concerning. And I am, quite frankly, very worried about the future of our privacy.
Yes.
Well, and so not even just privacy, digital security.
This is about digital security. I am always on guard against the future, right? I am aware that we must uphold the principles of privacy in order to protect against not only current potential for abuse, but the inevitable future attempt at abuse.
Have you seen the post that Chuck Joyner from Mac Voices put on his Mac Voices blog about this?
No, I did not.
It's really great. I absolutely loved it. And what he did was he posed a series of questions, and the supposition is if you answer no, meaning you are not comfortable with whatever the question is, to any one of them, then you should be opposed to the FBI being able to make this order stand. And the questions were bullet point after bullet point. Would you be comfortable with Barack Obama's administration having access to the contents of your iPhone? Would you be comfortable with the administration of Donald Trump having access to the contents of your iPhone? And so it went down all the current presidential candidates. Then it listed off several governments and it's this great list. And as you read through the list, it just really, to me, validates the concerns that you're having, because it's not just about the current government, it's about future governments.
Right. And don't forget, it wasn't too long ago when the FBI spied on people who may or may not have been gay because they may or may not have been gay. Same thing with communists. I mean, right? I mean, the definition of a problem citizen or a suspect citizen can always be changed. That is why I'm on guard for our privacy from our own government is because of the future attempts at abuse, because there will be future attempts at abuse, and any invasion, any weakening of our right to privacy today for good and for reasons that the vast majority of people would agree with will always be abused later in ways that we don't agree with. This is what we do as people, as humans.
Yes.
This is what we do. And that's why we must be on guard against that. But then aside from that, are the criminals that want our stuff, that want our bank account information, that want to steal the photos, the malicious hackers who want to steal our photos and maybe blackmail us, the foreign governments who regularly try to get our secrets for industrial espionage reasons, and the people who want to steal our bank accounts and our logins and our credit card numbers, right? I mean, those people need to be kept out of our phones too. We can't keep them out if we're letting law enforcement in for however wonderful a reason. You can't have both. Or wait, am I saying that right?
You're saying it right. To paraphrase what you're saying, you can't have an open door into information and call it secure at the same time.
Yeah, right. So we know this. So enter the Reuters Ipsos poll.
Right. Okay. So we had the Pew poll.
The Pew poll asking the wrong question.
And then we have the Reuters Ipsos poll. Did they ask the right question?
They asked a better question. The question they asked was, and I'm going, this is not in their chart. I'm actually going to the question. They were good enough to publish their actual questions. What Reuters said was, Apple is opposing a court order to unlock a smartphone that was used by one of the shooters in the San Bernardino attack. Apple is concerned that if it helps the FBI this time, it will be forced to help the government in future cases that may not be linked to national security, opening the door for hackers and potential future data breaches for smartphone users. Do you agree or disagree with Apple's decision to oppose the court order?
Okay, that's a much better question. It's still loaded, but it's much better than the question the Pew Research study asked.
Well, it would have been. So one of the things that Pew asked was the Pew question included the line that the government says, how did Reuters put this? Pew. The Pew question, this is what Reuters reported. The Pew question provided less information about Apple's concerns and mentioned that the FBI's need is, quote, an important part, unquote, of their investigation, which is not only loaded, but not necessarily true. We don't actually know there's anything on this phone. As a matter of fact, considering we don't know what's on the phone. We don't know what's on the phone, but the guy in question was very careful about destroying hard drives and destroying other devices and turning off his automatic updates.
Mm-hmm.
So the chances that there's anything actually on this phone are not set in stone. This is not a sure shot.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, the devices where law enforcement would be more likely to find evidence for the act, for other people being involved, for other potential acts, was very likely on the computers and smartphones that were destroyed before the shooting took place.
Now it's always possible for someone to make a mistake.
Absolutely.
You know, it could be that the entire master plan is on this, if there is such a thing, is on this device. We don't really know. But the Pew question said that the FBI called it an important part of their investigation.
The FBI did say that. But then they also said maybe there's something there, maybe not.
Right.
Which tells me it's not quite as important.
The Reuters Ipsos question could have mentioned that. They kind of present the question from Apple's point of view. I think it's more accurate, but it's still biased. It's just biased in the other direction. But it's more accurate than the other one also.
Okay. Well, so what sort of results did we see from this?
Oh, what a great question, Jeff.
Thanks.
It came out to, I'm looking for the total numbers, all 46% agree with Apple and 35% disagree with Apple.
Interesting. So this slants more towards Apple.
Heavily more toward this. Mm-hmm. Actually, this is in favor of Apple. Mm-hmm. It's just not a majority. You actually had a majority in the Pew poll that disagreed with Apple.
Well, being mostly pedantic, something I have learned from you, mm-hmm. they may have a majority in the Pew research study because we have to take into account margin of error. So it's possible that they have only 50%. Or 49%.
Yeah, let me look at them.
As opposed to 51%.
Let's see what they say the margin of error is. Margin of error reported. You're right. 3.7%. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they're giving themselves a 3.7% margin of error. So you're right. It may or may not be an actual majority. But it's probably, you know.
Sure. We'll go with majority.
Well, this is good. Yeah, for this... Let's just call it a majority. It wasn't quite a majority of people that favored Apple, but it's a heavy swing. And there's certainly, it's a huge swing of people that actually disagree with Apple, going all the way down to 35% from 51%? Was that what I said?
Mm-hmm.
51. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the Pew research, right?
Yes, 51%. Thank you. 51% mm-hmm. who said that Apple should unlock the cell phone, which is something they can't do, whatever, mm-hmm. To 35% saying that Apple is correct to oppose the court order. That's a huge swing.
Yes.
But interestingly, once again, we have the partisan divide that is weird considering the GOP is the part of small government and government intrusion into our lives. We have 37% of Republicans agreeing with Apple, as opposed to 46% of the whole. We have 54% of Democrats agreeing with Apple.
Interesting.
And when they asked the question, there's another question that they included as a bullet point. The question is the government. Actually, let's look at the actual question because we can do that.
We can. We have technology.
And they published it because that was awesome. Smartphones. All right. So the smartphone question, which is at the end of their thing, the government should be able to look at data on Americans' phones in order to protect against terror threats. Now, you would think... So the results were 46% of people agree with that.
Which that I find just fascinating.
That the government should be able to look at the data on our smartphones. And I'm going to say it this way. Only 46% agreed with that. 42% disagreed with it, leaving, 12% in the middle saying that they didn't know. I can't believe it's that small. I would think that the notion, with the court order, with a warrant, if that most people would think that the government should be able to view the data on our devices, but that's not what the survey found.
I find that really interesting. I would like to think that more people would be opposed to the government having access to our devices like that. But I also know how people are, so I am surprised that the number of people supporting government access to our devices is not higher.
Yeah. And again, the Republican, it skewed along party lines. Republicans, 53% of Republicans said that the government should be able to look at the data on our smartphones to protect against terror threats. 46% of Democrats said that the government should be able to do so. And then for whatever reason, the total was also 46%. I'm not really sure how that works.
I'm not sure how that works either.
So we have actually they're telling us that they had more Democrats in the poll. So it was 1,284 people total in the poll. It's higher than the Pew, which is at 1,000. Mm-hmm. 475, less than half, were Republicans, and 543 were Democrats, also less than half, but more. And then the independents made up the rest, another 300 or so, 200 and change.
Okay.
So anyway, it's interesting. And one of the things that this makes clear, by the way, is that you can get the results you want by phrasing the question to get those results.
Now, this is no surprise to me, and I know it's no surprise to you.
It's not going to be a surprise to most of our listeners.
No, no.
But it bears emphasizing. You know, Pew asked a question that, if anything, like I said, the results that Pew got, I'm surprised weren't higher. I'm delighted that the Reuters results were as they were. And I hope that the more information that gets out there, the more people start to come and understand these issues, come to understand these issues.
I hope so, too. And we know that Apple is planning on fighting this as hard as they can. And their legal team is hard at work on what that defense is going to be. And we're going to learn more about that on Friday, because that's the deadline, the 26th. That's the deadline that Apple has to respond to the court order.
Which brings us to our next topic.
Oh, right.
Did you do that on purpose?
Nope. I'm just a natural.
Okay, let's delete that. And let everybody think that this was just a masterful segue, a rare instance of a masterful segue for us.
Perfect.
So, what about freedom of speech, Jeff?
All right. So Apple, last week we reported on how they had retained Theodore Cole. And Theodore, hold on, I will remember his name, Boutrous. Theodore Olson, Theodore Boutrous. Boutrous. There we go. I've got it. Wow, that was hard.
Boutrous.
Okay, so both the Theodores, they have a lot of experience dealing with First Amendment-related cases. And they have said that, yes, Apple is going for a First Amendment defense in this case. And so I totally get why people would be thinking, First Amendment, that doesn't make sense to me. Well, here's how this works. So First Amendment for the Constitution of the United States gives us protection for freedom of speech. Now, the courts have upheld on many occasions that freedom of speech also includes freedom from being compelled to speak. All right. So that's element number one in this.
The government can't force us to say something that we don't want to say.
Correct. So then the second element in this is that courts have upheld on several occasions that software can qualify as speech. So you put the two together, and we have a case where the government is violating the Constitution, First Amendment of the Constitution, by compelling Apple to create this new software that Apple does not want to create.
So by extension, part of this argument is that the All Writs Act is used to compel cooperation, to allow law enforcement, to allow the executive branch to do what it needs to do if it's not otherwise covered by statute. The free speech argument that's being put forth by the two teddies says that, well, this is covered by statute. It's covered by the First Amendment. And here are the steps saying why it's covered by the First Amendment. Therefore, you can't use the All Writs Act to do this, and you therefore can't do it at all.
Right, and so when I looked at the elements in this defense, and keep in mind, I have played an attorney on stage.
Just makes you an expert,
which totally makes me an expert. I thought, yep, this is the right defense for Apple to go with, and in part because they don't have to rely on finding other precedent; they're actually using the Constitution.
Well, and the precedents that have been set since then,
right? So, yeah, so we have the Constitution, and then we have precedent set through case law over the years, including Supreme Court rulings. And you put all of that together, and that's a really nice package to go into court with.
Okay. And I agree with that. And as a matter of fact, so my legal qualifications include not only having met people who have played attorneys on stage, mm-hmm. but having watched attorneys on the big and small screens both.
That's a pretty serious set of credentials, Brian.
I have read books involving attorneys.
All right, that's a big feather in your cap too,
right? So I also am. I'm my own kind of expert. That's
clearly, you
know, probably not quite as good as your claim, having played an attorney on stage. Nonetheless, here's what I think. It's a slam dunk in terms of law. I think that I can't imagine arguing against that, because the precedents are cut and dry. This is all pretty darn simple. My problem is, here's my problem. When it comes to the court of public opinion, where this case is being fought right now, mm-hmm. by both sides, by all sides, it's being fought by politicians. It's being fought by the FBI. It's being fought by Apple. It's being fought by Apple CEO Tim Cook. Right. There's the EFF, the ACLU, Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, Google's CEO, what's his face, his milquetoast response. I mean, there are lots of things being said in the court of public opinion. And by the way, let's tease right now that we're going to have a special edition of the Apple Context Machine this Friday.
Yes, I'm looking forward to this.
Where it's going to be me and Jeff and you and Rankin from what's the name of the umbrella organization?
British Tech Network.
And so they do the big show, they do the Mac show.
Yep, and they actually have several shows. The shows that our listeners would be most interested in would be the Mac show, which they do live on Thursdays, and then the big show, which is a general technology show that I do pretty much every week, and it's right after that, so Thursday afternoons. So live video shows. And Ewan's a really great guy. And
but he disagrees with us.
So so we're going to have him on for a special edition of Apple Context Machine. And we will have a debate with two Yanks and a Brit.
Yeah, and it should be an interesting discussion. Ewan is pretty passionate in how wrong we are, which is fine because I'm pretty passionate about how wrong he is.
Which means this should be awesome. I'm going to make popcorn.
Anyway, that's going to be this Friday. At least that's the plan right now. So that's the tease. My point, my meandering point is that my problem here is the public relations side of this, where this is being fought right now, that I don't think it's a great idea for Apple to be saying to the public, we have the right of free speech not to help the government catch the bad guys. That to me is a perilous argument to be making to the public.
Well, that's one way that it could be spun. And of course, people are going to spin it that way. Another way it could spin is Apple has the right to protect the security and privacy of the people that use its products.
Well, see, that's just it, though. The first arguments made by Apple, the arguments made in the court of public appeal have been that the government is overreaching, and if we did this, it would destroy everybody's security and privacy. Mm-hmm. That to me is a slam dunk argument. But then turning around and saying in court that free speech rights mean that we don't have to help you. That to me is a nuanced argument that is going to be a lot more difficult for a lot of people to fully grok.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying. Nonetheless,
it's going to win the case.
Yeah, and the argument that you ran with, I think is great, but that's an argument where we don't have the precedent.
Well, we do have the precedent from the standpoint of overreach, and we do have the standpoint that there is no precedent for the government ordering a company or a party or a person to create some new tool to help them. We have no precedent with the government ordering a party to deliberately weaken encryption for everybody in order to pursue a criminal case or a terrorist case or whatever. Right. So
what we'll get by going with the constitutional argument is a stronger case because we already have precedent set in all these other places. And the outcome will be that we will get the precedent for the elements that you just mentioned that we currently don't have.
Yeah.
And when I look at it,
this is going to end up costing Apple some customers.
Yes, it will. Yes.
Which is ironic because the right has the DOJ and Donald Trump and the DOJ, which is obviously Barack Obama's DOJ, and the FBI have both accused Apple of doing this as a publicity stunt.
Of course, because both sides have taken this fight very, very public. So I would expect them, meaning the government, to make comments like that because that serves their argument. Now, as far as Apple losing customers, yep, they will. However, I think when Apple weighs the PR hit they take for using this argument as opposed to the PR hit they will take if they are forced to weaken the security measures in iOS is going to be less. Therefore, they're better off going with the constitutional argument and causing less damage to themselves than they otherwise would.
I can one up that because okay. I don't think Tim Cook cares. I don't think he cares. Which I think Tim Cook is more interested in doing what's right than he is in doing what's commercially the most profitable. It's one of the things I respect about him in the first place.
You know, I will totally agree with you on that.
I mean, I completely and utterly reject. So I find the DOJ and the FBI's accusation ironic because I think that if anything, it's going to be the opposite. But in addition to that, I think that they are factually wrong. Apple is not making the argument from a strictly commercial standpoint, Apple is actually fighting for what it believes is right for the country, its customers, its people, and all of us, including, ironically, the government, as General Hayden said. America mm-hmm. is stronger when the people and corporations are armed with data privacy, protection, and security. The country is stronger, despite the fact that it makes law enforcement's job harder. General Hayden is former NSA director, former CIA director. He gets it.
Yes, so, he does.
Anyway, that's my thing. One last mention. I know we're out of time, but one last mention. Robot overlords.
This is so awesome.
I'm going to say it so that we can put it in the show notes. You got to go watch this video from Boston Dynamics of a new robot that they have. Did I say robot?
You totally said robot.
I don't ever. Anyways, robot that can lift boxes and lift with its knees. Did you notice that it lifted with its knees?
Yes, because that's better for your back. Hello.
It's probably better for stability in this case, but and can handle terrain, handled ice, handled slipping, handled being punched with a hockey stick.
You know, it's amazing how quickly I anthropomorphized this device, because that's what it is. It's a device. But when they started, showing how stable it is and how quickly it can recover from scenarios that alter from what it expected, I mean, it was fascinating. But at the same time, I'm like, don't hurt him. He's going to be mad. Stop knocking the box out of his hand. That's mean.
They were knocking the box out of his hand. They were using a hockey stick to, like, you know, pull it just out of grasp so that the robot had to adjust and move. And then they actually pushed it over. And I was also anthropomorphizing and just thinking, you guys are bullies.
Yes, they were totally bullying this robot.
And then it's a robot. It's not a person that has no feelings, has no thoughts. And they were not being mean, but man, my empathy gland just went into overdrive.
It's amazing how we do that. But still, the demonstration through the things that they did to mm-hmm. this robot was amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Totally amazing. So we have a link in the show notes.
Yes.
Go watch it. This is all this FBI and Apple stuff is very, very important. We want you involved in the discussion, including if you disagree with us. America needs to have a conversation about this, and America needs to understand the stakes.
Yes.
And that can only happen through conversation and dialogue and people becoming informed and making some informed decisions, which is not necessarily going hand in hand with the political process or, in this case, the judicial process. But eventually we need to be talking about this stuff. We need to be talking about this stuff now, because eventually that'll matter.
Yes, I agree completely. Also, robot overlords.
Yes.
And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Believe it or not, our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. And that's all for this week.
And hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer. All your bass are belong to us.